Hi,
this is Sarah Tullock, Talking Writing's podcast production manager, and this is the Talking Writing Podcast. This week, Talking Writing copy editor Jess Barnett interviews Jonathan Kravitz, who has released his first book, How We Were Before, which is forthcoming from Running Wild Press in 2024. His short story, Conch, was the fiction category winner for the fall 2017 issue of Cardinal Sins. His stories and plays have appeared in a variety of journals, including the Irish Literary Journal, The Furious Gazelle, The Opiate Magazine, Narrative Northeast, and others. He also teaches a creative writing class online. This week's conversation focuses on his writing process, his experience in publishing, and his career as a full-time writer. Please enjoy the episode.
Thank you for joining us, today. I am meeting with Jonathan Kravitz, and Jonathan is an author, and I believe it's your first novel is coming out. It's being released in 2 days by Running Wild Press, and it's titled How We Were Before. Do you want to just give our listeners and me a little kind of teaser description about the novel?
Sure. It's a novel of connected stories. The inciting incident of the novel is a double murder that happens of this older couple. They're a well-known couple in the town, and they're murdered in their sleep during a robbery attempt. And then what follows, one story per month, are stories about people in the town and how these murders have affected them. And in between each of the stories, there are what I'm calling interstories. They're short little pieces that kind of tell the life of the couple that was murdered from when they met through difficult times and until the end of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read the book and I really enjoyed it. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I haven't been reading a lot of fiction myself lately. So it was really nice to do that for a change. But so I wanted to ask, obviously, some questions. So mm-hmm. I understand that you have written plays and short fiction as well. Could you just kind of tell me, I'm just curious, because I used to write myself, but can you tell me a little bit about how writing a novel such as How We Were Before differs from writing a play? And what mm-hmm. do you prefer and why, if you have a preference?
Sure. Probably prefer playwriting to fiction writing, or at least writing a longer work like a novel, because for a few reasons. Writing a play to me is almost a little like math. Mm. Not that I love math that much, but there's there's a puzzle aspect to it. You're just trying to fit pieces together and make it all make sense. But what I really love about playwriting is that it becomes a collaborative event. You bring it to a group of people, they read it, you get feedback, you do more work. Hopefully you have a bigger reading. Eventually it's on its feet. Actors are giving you feedback. Directors are giving you feedback. And it becomes a work of a group of people mm-hmm. rather than just something you've done, which I love. I love doing that. I love kind of team sports. You know, I love that aspect of it. Writing a novel is more solitary.
Yes.
You know, it's just mostly, grinding away in front of your computer. There isn't a lot of chance to get feedback, or it's harder to get feedback. I'm lucky that I live with an editor, my girlfriend.
Okay.
She's very good. So, and we can talk about her. She was read every piece multiple times in wow. here and gave me a lot of feedback. So I was very lucky to have that. And then they're just what a play is and what a novel is are obviously very different things.
Yeah.
Which I guess we don't need to get into that.
Yeah, no, I was just curious because I'm not as well schooled in reading plays myself, but I have mm-hmm. read some, and I like what you said about kind of putting the pieces into place. But I can kind of see that in the novel as well, because it feels like as you're going throughout the book, you're kind of moving toward it. You know the conclusion, pretty mm-hmm. well off the bat, but or, you know, the main event.
But right.
It feels like you're kind of like just getting more information through the stories, which I really like because it really draws you in for one thing. And then it also, it kind of fills in some gaps, obviously, as to why this would have happened. And I really enjoyed like the human aspect of it, talking about how it really, a murder like that would affect people in the, you know, kind of like ripples mm-hmm. in a pond. So I really enjoyed that part of it. I also just wanted to ask, I might have missed this in the book, so if I did, I apologize, but is there a connection to the Zombies song, How We Were Before? Or was that?
No, there is.
Okay, all right.
I only know that song exists, actually, because when we came up with the title, I Googled to say, oh, is there how many books would have this title? And that was the only thing that I found. I thought, okay. Oh, well, no one's going to care about that. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, I love the zombies. So I was just wondering. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the shifting timeline that you use. Mm-hmm. So did you find it difficult to use this format? Or it kind of seems to go along with playwriting a little bit, but what made you decide to use that format in telling the story?
Yes, it was difficult. I have an idea for another one, but I'm not sure I'm going to do it because it is. So once you decide to do something like that, it's hard. It was hard to make the pieces fit together and to the extent they even do fit together. So yeah, that part of it is hard. What was your question about that?
Oh, it's just deciding to use that format specifically for this novel.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense to me why you would do that because it chronologically tells stories, but I didn't know if there was some other reason for it.
No. I wanted to do chronologically to give the book kind of an easy structure, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 1 month. So we kind of follow that and it kind of makes it easy. And I knew when I decided to write this book, and I knew it was going to have these interconnected stories, I knew I wanted something to go in between each of the stories. I really didn't know what that was going to be.
Okay.
I struggled with what that would be. I had this idea that I would tell the history of the town, which when I started trying to do that, I thought, wow, this is impossible. Like I have to make up the whole history of this town. And also, why does anyone care? Like what's dramatic or interesting about that? How am I going to make that interesting? It needs to be about a relationship. It needs to be, you know, something we can dig into, you know, a close up rather than a far away shot.
Right.
So that's when I started to get the idea of making those interstories about the couple.
Okay. Yeah, and the characters, I mean, I've found they're really easy to kind of relate to a lot of them or all of them, which is cool because, I mean, there's just sort of moral differences between the characters. But when I was reading it, I found myself drawn to people who had, you know, acted morally wrong, but, you know, they all seem pretty, I guess, sympathetic to me. So I like that fact. I mean, maybe not all, but most of them, you know, but
I can guess which one, maybe not, but
but sure. I mean, even then, I liked how you explored that backstory a lot. But I did want to ask about when you're writing a story or a play or a novel, especially a novel like this, how do you keep track of all the different characters and events and timelines? Do you just keep going back and referring to what you've written, or do you have some kind of more easy, like concordance kind of way to keep track of it?
If I do this again in the future, I'm going to get much more organized. I'm going to make a flow chart and I'm going to make a spreadsheet and I'm going to keep track of what I'm doing. This story, this idea for this kind of evolved. I'd written some of the stories already.
Yeah.
And I read a Tom Raikman novel that's structured like this. And I thought, hey, I could do this. You know, I love writing short stories. I was at a place where I'd been receiving a lot of rejection letters for other full-length novels that I'd written. So I decided to try this structure.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I definitely, like, I know that some of the stories were published, so there were some stories that were written and then you sort of tied this in or just the basis.
Oh, right.
Kind of,
I didn't answer the question. Right.
No, I'm just curious. No, there's,
No. So I just kind of felt my way through it. I knew that I wanted connections between different stories. I knew there were the two sisters, and I knew I wanted stories make those connect. I'd written the story about the marketing manager, their best friend, before I'd written everything. So I needed a way to tie her into it. So I made her the best friend of the family. So I just kind of felt my way through it, just trying to make connections where I could. I actually sent an earlier version of this out to an agent who gave me some feedback, and she thought one of the stories in particular was not working. It just didn't connect enough.
Okay.
So I wasn't deliberately trying to make every story so about just the murders. You know, I want all of them to have their individual lives.
Right.
But this story really was just too far off the beaten track.
Okay.
So I decided to take it out and write a new story. And that actually was turned out to be great. That really helped me put some strings, tie some things together.
Okay.
It's Paradoyla, the story about the kid and the dad.
I like those.
I mean, I wrote that story in like a couple weeks, which is pretty fast.
Yeah.
For me to write something, because it really just came together, and I knew how it fit together in the novel with the other kid story. So that really helped me tie things together, and I really love that story.
Yeah, I do too. I like that one. That's one of my favorites. So, So I guess you didn't really find difficulty in kind of seeing, like, using that point of view
from the kid.
Yeah,
I didn't really. Maybe because I had written the other one already. It hurts our hearts. I'd written that one, so I had had like some practice writing from that perspective.
Okay.
So it. I don't know exactly why. Usually it takes longer and there's more rewriting, but I sat down, I had the idea. There was the kid and the father, and then it just kind of came out.
Okay.
Maybe because I'd written so much else of the book already that it just sort of wrote itself a little bit.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to go back to what you mentioned earlier, how your girlfriend is an editor and she's read your work.
Yes.
I mean, when you're going through the writing and like deciding process of what to keep and what not, I mean, is it kind of uncomfortable to sometimes get feedback like that? Or were there any sections that she or anyone else suggested that you take out that you were really sad about, that like you were like, why can't we keep that in there?
Sure, you're not secretly living here spying on us.
I'm just curious because I don't know.
That's a very good question, because yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Uncomfortable is a good word for it. There were times where I just struggled to understand what wasn't working in a particular story, and it took, you know, beating me over the head a few times for me to really see. So I always took the notes and thought it through, and in the end, I usually acquiesced and made the changes that were needed to make the thing work. And then in the end, I would always say, oh yes, this really does make it a lot better.
Okay. I haven't written in so long personally, but I just remember when I did write and I was going through workshops and such, I would have a real attachment to certain pieces in a piece, and I would be sad when people suggested that they be removed. But I think that's what editors are. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you need to be working with someone you trust, and that is hard, and I trust her. I've been in workshops where I've gotten feedback from people where I know enough about what I'm trying to do that I can just throw away their feedback. Yeah. I know it's not going to help me,
you know? Okay.
So you really do need to find someone that you can work with. And what I do, because I work in Word usually, is if there's a piece that needs to come out, like I'm working on a new novel right now, and I had to cut whole chapters.
Okay.
And so I'll just save it. I'll put it into a comment on the side. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's really still alive, kind of.
Yeah.
But then it slowly sinks into the background once you keep working on the novel.
Okay, that makes sense. But then you don't have to totally abandon it. You can always save it in a different document just to keep it, just in case.
Yes, just in case. That's what I'm telling myself, but really, I almost never go back to it.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Yeah. Let's see, what else I did. So when did you first realize that you wanted to write, and when did you actually start writing? Or did it kind of just happen at the same time?
No, it didn't happen at the same time. My first job after college, you might be able to guess, was as a reporter for a small weekly newspaper.
And yes.
So that story in the book was influenced a lot by that. Mm-hmm. I just heard from my old editor. I haven't talked to her in 35 years. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to be an academic. And I went to graduate school for cinema studies in New York. That's how I ended up in New York.
Okay. Yeah.
But in the back of my mind, I always did love writing.
Okay.
But I thought I need to do something academically. I just always had in my mind since I was a kid that that's what I should do.
Okay.
When I got to NYU, I really quickly realized I did not belong. I stuck it out for 2 years. I got my master's, but I could see that I wasn't really right for academia. The material I didn't love, and also just it wasn't really my people, I'd say.
Okay.
And that was mutual.
Well, good to know that about yourself, you know?
Yes. And so once I realized, okay, I'm not going to try to even get a PhD, I decided to take some screenwriting classes and in the dramatic writing program. We were allowed to do that. And I took two, and the second one was taught by this man who has since passed away, actually quite a long time ago. His name was Fred Hudson. He ran the Frederick Douglass Creative Arts Center, which is on the Upper West Side of New York. And he had been running it at that point for like 30 years. And we just developed a relationship.
Okay.
So that when I graduated, he invited me to start taking workshops up there with him. Cool. And I did that for years. And that was at the point where I just started to give in to the idea that really I wanted to write.
Yeah.
So I think I always wanted to, but I was afraid. I was afraid of the idea. And it's, I still go back and forth.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. And it's easy to make excuses not to do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. So working with him, and then eventually I started taking some fiction classes with Elliot Dark. And she helped me a great deal also. So between the two of them, it was like almost like my writing parents. And they really encouraged me and helped me grow as a person and as a writer.
Yeah, that's really like a powerful relationship. And I'm sorry, I meant to ask you about the book that you said you're working on. Could you just talk a little about that, or do you not want to really give any information on that yet?
I can talk about it. Okay. No secrets. it's very different from this book.
Okay.
And I should say that when I wrote plays, I didn't necessarily set out to do this, but it did turn out that I would often alternate between very serious dramas, like dystopian, dark, and then light satires and crazy things and fun.
Okay.
So I've kind of done that here. This novel, How We Were Before, it's a little dark, you know.
Yeah.
It has lighter moments, but it's not, you know, it's
and not a light romp, but it's not.
So this is it's like a mystery comedy.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, called Every Good Boy Dies Fine. It's takes place in Rockaway, where I live, and it's about a trumpet player.
Okay.
I'm a trumpet player.
You are. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's really cool. Do you play in a band, or did you used to?
In a band. I played in high school and a little bit in college, then didn't play for many years. Mm-hmm. One of my best friends is a jazz musician. She's a singer. And I would just go to her house sometimes and we'd play like two tunes together.
Oh, cool.
And I just slowly started getting back into it. And then like 10 years ago or so, I joined a little band and started practicing more. And that led me to getting into this amateur band in the swing dancing community. I also swing dance. So I got into that community and got into a band. And then when I moved to Rockaway, I met some musicians out here. And we've been together for about 3 years.
Oh, that sounds really fun. Do you guys have a name?
Yes, we're called the Rat Cats.
Okay, cool. Wait, what is that again? Can you just, what is it? Rat Cat?
Rat cats.
That's what I thought, but I wanted to make sure. Okay. Well, that sounds awesome. All right. Let's see. And then I had a question. Just in terms of your writing career, what would you, up till now, what would you say is your proudest achievement in writing or publishing or, you know, writing plays, anything?
Mm-hmm. The first time I saw one of my plays on its feet in front of an audience, I couldn't sleep that night afterwards. It was just so exciting. It, you know, wasn't perfect, but it worked. Audience was engaged. And it was so much work to get that play together. It was just for this 3-day run.
Mm-hmm.
That this small theater was loaning us their stage for 3 days. We had to still rehearse just like it was going to have a long run. We had rehearsed for a month. It's a play with a lot of dialogue.
Okay.
All the dialogue doesn't necessarily connect. Like, people were in their own trains of thought, so it was really hard for the actors to learn all of that.
Yeah.
So very, very nervous, you know, that first day. And then it just came together. It was really exciting. Really excited to see that.
So which play was that?
It's called Prayer.
Prayer, okay.
Prayer, yeah. It takes place in this dystopian world, like a theocracy.
Okay, I'm going to need to check that out because it sounds really interesting to me personally.
Yeah, it's about a man who's thrown into prison and he's accused of writing this book, The Believer's Diary, which is supposedly causing rebellion. But he says he's not the guy. They've got the wrong man.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm definitely going to check that out. So thank you.
If you want me to send you a copy, I am happy.
That would be amazing. Yeah. Sure. It'd be great. Thank you. So there are certain passages that I actually just kind of I've been reading this on my computer through the PDF, you know, there were certain passages that I really enjoyed. Let me just see here. I guess the thing I like about your writing is that, like when I was in taking writing classes years ago, I remember they would always say like, show, don't tell. And I feel like in your writing, you use a lot of just kind of like just character actions to show. But you do kind of do a little inner monologue slightly with the characters. But I like the fact that you don't just rely on like, oh, blank felt sad or blah blah blah, you know. I mean, I know that's one of like the biggest tenets in writing is show don't tell, but is there any part of this book that's coming out on Tuesday that you're particularly happy with? Was there a particular story that you really just feel very good about?
There's several.
Yeah, that's good.
I think several of them that I really like. Pareidolia, which I can't pronounce that word, but that
I can't
one
either. So yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of have marble mouth as it is. Like, I'm always kind of mumbling. So yeah, that one I really like. The story about the sister Shelby, the older sister, the way that evolved, I didn't really know where that was going when I was writing it.
The one with the reporter?
Yes, the reporter.
Yes, yeah. I love that one too. That I have one of the passages is from that I saved. So.
Yeah, that was hard to write. It took a lot of work to make that work, but I really like that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Conch, I really like with the older woman on the cruise boat. And you know, like, this is Disney World, where it wouldn't necessarily be my favorite necessarily in the book. I'm kind of proud of that one because it was really hard to write from that perspective of such an unreliable narrator.
Okay.
That's getting that voice for her was a challenge.
Okay. So with the unreliable narrator, I mean, you must have had help from your editor on that a lot, or
yes,
was there a lot of rewriting that went on with that one?
Yes, a lot of rewriting in a lot of these, some more than others. That one, quite a bit, because sometimes the things that she was saying or thinking did not fit. Okay. And so I had to keep working on it.
Okay, that's interesting. So you worked as a reporter at a small newspaper, weekly newspaper, you said?
Yes.
How long were you in that job?
Roughly 3 years.
Okay. And what were you covering during, like, were you just, what kind of stuff were you covering?
Mostly boring things. I covered like selectman meetings and school committee meetings. Those were my beats.
Yeah.
The police, you know, I would go, I was not very good as a reporter, to be honest. I did not have that, like, get up and go find the cool news thing. I mean,
yeah.
The thing in the book about the police chief stealing, that's real. That really happened at the place where I was a reporter. Wow. He was stealing like cocaine from drugs that they'd confiscated and reselling it. And he went to prison for a long time.
Okay.
So that really, really happened. But, you know, it wasn't like I found it out and reported it on or anything. It all happened while it was there and I had no idea.
Okay.
And then I covered, you know, features, which I really did enjoy doing. I liked features. Mm-hmm. And then my last year, I did a lot of sports,
okay,
which is fun too, because that's also, it's kind of like writing features.
Yeah. I worked at a small weekly newspaper as well years ago, and I graduated with a journalism degree and then quickly decided that I didn't want to be a reporter either. So I can just relate to what you're saying with that.
Yeah.
It is, well, it
good
does
choice.
Take a lot of like enthusiasm sort of, or something to get at. And I don't know, I feel like reporters kind of have to have a more extroverted side, and I had a hard time with that. So I don't know.
No, I can relate to that.
Yeah. Wasn't really into diving into the whole thing, but I guess it's better to figure that out earlier on. So
yeah, it takes like not really caring what other people are thinking while asking
them
questions.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
And that's hard. And like, one of the things I had to do was call families whose loved one had died.
Oh, wow.
To cover that, you know, for obituaries. And, you know, that was not pleasant.
Oh, my God. No. Yeah, that's hard. Yeah. Well, you talk about that in one of the first stories in the book. The reporter story is right in the beginning. So, so you said that kind of, I mean, obviously it wasn't based on you, but like, was it pretty easy to write that because of your past experience?
Yes and no. I mean, the milieu, picturing that office, which is described right at the beginning of the book, understanding what his job is, going to the different places. Yeah, all of that was just natural. I just remembered all of that and just dug into that. Yeah. The harder part was, you know, his character and understanding his problem, because it is very different from me. He's very different.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you get kind of hooked up with the publishing company that's publishing your novel?
Sure. I sent the book to agents for a while and, you know, got some nice feedback, but no one took the book. It's not really a book that would sell to like a big publisher. So I wasn't too surprised about that for this book. And so I decided to just start sending it out to small presses. And I just got very organized, made the spreadsheet, and just sent them out. And found presses that I thought would be interested in this kind of book, and just found them, sent it to them. And unlike many presses, they got back to me pretty fast.
A
month, 6 weeks, maybe. It was really fast.
No, that is fast.
It took a lot longer for the book to come out. This was over 2 years ago now.
Oh, okay.
And the book was accepted, and I've had to wait.
Yeah.
And it's coming out May 20th. So it was a long haul there, but yeah, just persistence.
Exciting. Yeah. So are you doing any kind of events for the release of the book?
Yes, I am. I live in New York, as I mentioned, in Rockaway, which is like a beach community. The first reading is going to be actually in Massachusetts.
Oh, cool. Where?
It's a bookstore called An Unlikely Story.
Okay.
An Unlikely Story Bookstore and Cafe. It's a great place.
Where in Mass? What's the town or city?
In Plainville.
Plainville. Okay. I used to live in Plainville. Mass. That's why I'm curious.
Oh, yeah. Where did you live?
I lived in Boston and Somerville, Maynard, Cambridge, all over kind of. So,
over Boston area. Okay. Yeah. So this is like, you know, south of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're great. I've called a lot of bookstores, and it's hard to get people excited about a book being published by a small press, but she was immediately excited and enthusiastic. It's so nice when someone is like that.
I'm sure.
So that's on the 25th of May. Hopefully my family will be there and friends. It'll be interesting to do something out of state like that for me. And then, yeah, I have one in Catskill, New York.
Oh, okay. It's beautiful there.
Because I go up there. What's that?
It's beautiful there.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful there. And I go up there a lot for my plays. There's a theater company up there that's done readings of my plays. So I have a little community up there already.
Nice.
So I wanted to do something there. So I'm going to have a Q&A with a woman up there in a cafe in Catskill.
Great.
And then I have a book launch coming after that on the 25th in Manhattan.
Okay, May 25th?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Revision Bar.
Okay, well, we'll make sure to plug that on our social media. Yeah.
Sure, I can send you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask also about, so is this the first thing that you have published through like a publication company? Did you publish a book of short stories? I'm not sure about that.
Nope. I've done other things. I was a publisher. Mm-hmm. I ran a literary magazine, an online literary magazine for roughly 20 years.
Okay.
And around halfway through that, we founded a small press called Greenpoint Press. Okay. And so I was involved in that. I have some stories published in some of our best of. We did some Best of Ducks, which was the name of the magazine. Yeah. We did some Best of Ducks. And so I have stories in that. I also wrote these nonfiction children's books, which if you Google my name, you'll find them. They're everywhere.
Okay.
So I wrote like a gross bugs series and bullying and things like that.
That sounds really interesting. I'm gonna have to check that out. So, I mean, as far as publishing, would you still work with a publisher in the future, or do you think you would consider self-publishing?
I don't think I would. I won't say never consider self-publishing, but just having gone through this process of trying to promote my book, which is mostly on me,
okay,
it really helps. It really helps to have a publisher that opens sense. Doors. Like, you know, I'm having a reading here in Rockaway in July at a Queen's Library, and just the fact that it was a publisher made it much easier to arrange. It probably wouldn't even happen.
Okay.
If it was self-published, because some official person in Queen's Library has to read your book and sign off on it.
Okay.
So they want to know that it shouldn't matter, but it does.
Yeah. Okay.
It's certain things easier. Yeah.
Yeah. I do have a friend who's self-published two young adult books, and she's had some success, but I just thought I'd ask you about that because, I'm sure a lot of people listening are wondering that kind of thing too. Cause you know, we have a lot of writers who listen to our podcast and, do you know, when your next book is going to be finished?
Yes. So question mark. I mean, I finished a draft of it.
Oh, great.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, I finished a draft of it a long time ago.
Okay.
So it's been like 30 drafts. I'm just about at the point where I'm going to send it out. I actually have sent it to one agent already. I want Claire, my girlfriend, to read it one more time. And she hasn't really had the time because of her business recently. So probably this summer is when I'm going to be ready to really start sending it to agents.
Okay. And so Claire, she has her own business. Does she have an editing business?
Nope. Couldn't be further from that. Having an editing business, I think, is really hard now because there's so many people who are willing to do it below probably what they should be charging.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has a jewelry business.
Oh,
she makes jewelry out of seashells she finds here at the beach, and she's very successful. It's quite incredible. She went like in two and a half years, built this business, and we just found out on Friday she's going to have a permanent spot at a flea market in Williamsburg in Brooklyn. this summer. Wow. So we're very excited about that.
That is really exciting. That's great. Yeah. I was just wondering about the editing business. I have a copy editing business myself.
So oh, you do?
Just curious.
How is that? How do you, how's that going? Do you like freelancing?
Going great. Yeah. I don't want to work in an office, so it works really well for me.
Right.
It's cool. Been about 3.5 years since I went off full time on my own, but I
enjoy. How are you finding clients?
I mean, just through, sometimes I've found one of my biggest clients on LinkedIn. I think, yeah, someone reached out through that. I found a couple on like job posts, and then I just sort of get word of mouth referrals from other copy editors or editors or such. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So it's worked for me so far. I'm hoping it continues to, you know?
Yeah, no, good luck. Cause I do copy editing for my day job, but it's a full-time position.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky that I work from home.
Yes, that is lucky.
That is lucky. But, you know, I've gone back and forth. I've freelanced doing other things before. And the other one always seems more appealing, depending mm-hmm. on which one you're in. Like right now,
yeah, that makes freelancing. Sense.
But yeah. Then when I'm freelancing, I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I never get to rest. I'm always worried about the next job.
Yeah, I think that comes with the territory. Like if you have to kind of have a strong stomach for like uncertainty or something, which I usually don't. So I don't know how I'm making it work, but it works fine for me. So, yeah.
Okay.
But I think great. That was all I had, unless you wanted to add anything else about the book or, you know, plug any other events.
I don't think I have any other events to plug.
Okay.
I'm curious to know why you're not writing anymore. That was one of my questions.
Well, thank you. Thanks for asking. I don't know. I think I might go back to it. I wrote a lot as a kid and then through college and a little after. And then I kind of lost my self-confidence with that stuff. And then I haven't done it in so long but I'm in a different place mentally and everything. Mm-hmm. Now, so maybe I'll try it again. I've been thinking yeah. lately. So thanks for asking.
Cool. I'll throw this out there. I teach an online creative writing class.
Oh, it's
a very
yeah.
small group of people.
You meant to ask about that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I started a class, I don't know, 5 years ago before the pandemic. And it would grow, like we'd have 3 people, then it would be 8 or 10 people, and then grow and shrink. And I realized, look, I'm not really doing this for the money. Mm. I just want to be with people I like talking to about writing. So when I had to go online, it just shrunk down to the students who really wanted to do it, who really were passionate and who I really liked. So right now we have 4 students and they're all fantastic and lovely. And I'm happy to have it, you know, a smallish group.
Yeah.
So if you feel inspired, you know, let me know if you want to join. I'm sure they would all love you. And
yeah. Do you have a website for that? I did see that in your... Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can connect offline because I might be interested in that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's yeah. connect. Yes. Okay. We just have a Zoom link and that's...
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. So it's yeah. like, okay. I wasn't sure if it was like a formal class or what, but yeah. Okay. Well, that would be great. I'll follow up with you about that.
Okay.
I don't know why lately I've been thinking about writing again. So it was really nice to talk with you about that. It kind of inspired me. So yeah, thank you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I'd love to if you joined.
Yeah, let me, I can't remember exactly what date this comes out, but I will get that info to you. I just have to look at the schedule. So
sure.
Yeah, yeah, but thank
it's
you.
May 20th.
Oh, not the book. I meant the podcast episode.
Oh, the podcast. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the 25th, yeah. But let me just check. Yeah, on that.
Okay. And yeah. Also, just finally, I mean, I just wanted to thank you and everyone else, John and Martha, for connecting me with you guys.
Yes, thank
really
you.
Really appreciate
awesome.
The opportunity. Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're great. Yeah, yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you. I'll connect with you about the workshop.
Okay. Thanks
Have
so much. Enjoy talking.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Writing Podcast. We're an independent literary site and nonprofit organization based in the Boston area, but with contributors from around the world. Since our founding in 2010, we've relied on donations to keep publishing and podcasting. To donate to TW, you can use the donate button on the rss.com page of this podcast or visit talkingwriting.com/donate. And of course, feel free to drop us a line at editor@talkingwriting.com.